Yeah, what's the deal with that?
This week's Parsha. Parsha B'Shalach. So there's a piece I spoke about. A year ago, but I want to elaborate on it a little bit and just take a different approach if I could. This is Parsha Shira. It's a very chashuva Parsha. Every Parsha is very chashuva, of course, but this one is particularly unique. There's even certain people who say that you should feed the birds in the Shabbos. There's a certain Shira we should have. There's a certain excitement in the air. There's a piece that bothered me a lot in the very beginning of this week's Parsha. That, in my humble opinion, is exactly everything that we believe is challenged by Kadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to our davening. We're faced with a real big dilemma. The Ramban discusses it. Others mention it as well. We have up till now been following the Anan and the Eish. We walk wherever they take us to go. They take us right in the foot of the Yam Suf, and they stop. And behind us comes an entire army. And the cloud's not moving. It's protective, but it's not moving anywhere. We have no idea where we're going to go right now. We have no idea where to go. We're mamish 100% stuck. And we are between a rock and a hard place, and they're converging on us. At least one's converging on us. And we have no hope in sight. And we do what's most natural and obvious what we should do. And we daven. Because we're taught. And now that we're taught, but the Ramban brings down, according to the Ramban, the only time that davening is a d'oraisa obligation upon us is when you're in a situation like this. You're mamish desperate. You're in a situation of real eitz tzara. Right now, it doesn't get more eitz tzara than that. And we start to daven. That's right. Kohen Ramban, it's an inuchuva. Very good. We start to daven. And Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to us in the most bizarre of ways. And he says, why? Why are you davening to me right now? Well, I'll explain to you. I got an entire country about to kill me, and there's a sea which I can't cross. I forgot my floaties back home. What do you want me to do right now? So he says, I'll tell you what I do. Why don't you just walk right in? Okay, thanks for the advice, but you can understand why I'm diving to you. What do you ask me? Why are you diving to me? It's a strange thing to talk about. You obviously know I'm diving to you. I'm stuck. I'm mamish in a foxhole, and I'm not an atheist. So I turn to you to help me out a little bit. Why is he challenging us while we're diving right now? That's question number one. Question number two is a very strange medrash that comes up. I saw a quote first in Amos Yaakov, but the medrash I'll read to you inside. I find it. Xerox it for myself. The medrash says, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to split the sea for us. We got there. But Amad Samael Hamal Katrig Al Osan Medrash Rav Parshah Chaval Pasuk Piska Zayin. The Malach got in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, says, what are you doing? Bol Sholem Ad Achshav Hayu Eilu Avodah Savorah As Kochavim. These people were Avodah Zarah, and so were these. Yatar Korel Emes Hayam, you're going to split the sea for them? So Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Hashem do? It's a good point. We also, why do we deserve that sea split for us? He says, Ma'asa lo Iyov. Hashem says, you know what? You know the story of Iyov we have, Job? This is how it started. Hashem had to distract the Malachim. He had to distract him. So he gave him Iyov. And now, with Iyov, you can torture him, make his life miserable. By the time that you're done, I'll snuck Bnei Yisrael through the Yam Suf. He wouldn't have realized it. And that's the set up here. Take him. While he's busy working with Eov, Yisrael Olam Liyam. We heard him. They'll go through the water on the other side, and then afterward, I'll save Eov's life. So I basically throw a bait to the rabid dog. He mamash rips Eov apart. Poor little Eov suffers tremendously. Bnei Yisrael, while the distraction is there, gets to run through the yard, the Yam Suf, and then I'll go back and protect Eov from this bad, evil Malach. What in the world does that mean? What's shot with that? And just know there's another medrash. Another medrash says a different thing, which I'll just build up also. By Chris Yamsov, yeah. Before he split the sea. The Menachem didn't want to split the sea, and they always split it because Hashem distracted them with Eov. The medrash says, besides that, as another shot in the medrash, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, because of the Aron Shal Yosef, because Yosef had tzaddik's body, but Moshe Rabbeinu was bringing Yosef tzaddik's body, that reason is why we let the Yamsov split for Bnei Yisrael, because of Yosef tzaddik, not for Bnei Yisrael. Again, we'll try to tie those in together at the very end. What's the shot? Why the Amsif? How could it fight against us? Because Baruch is distracted with you. It's very strange. I was talking to a student recently, and he said to me the following line, which really perplexed me. By the way, I told him it perplexed me also, so not surprising when I tell us right now. All of you. Could be all of you. Any of you. He said to me, he's very frustrated. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do with his life. He doesn't know what to do with his time. He doesn't know how. What's he supposed to be doing? He said to me, very frustrated. Let me tell you over. He doesn't know what to do himself. There's nothing more frustrating, I can promise you, than going somewhere having no idea what you're supposed to do. Nothing more frustrating. Bnei Yisrael, Mamash was that case. They were stuck. They had no idea what to do. No idea. There's nothing more depressing than getting to a fork in the road. Should I date this girl? She doesn't want to go to Israel, but I want to get there eventually. But I really think it's a good match for me. I'm at a fork. What do I do? There's nothing more paralyzing than that. However, you should just know in life, Baruch Hashem, almost everything you're supposed to do, you know already. God did not give you a mystery game. He gave you a game with every last rule. Every rule's there. You want to do in the morning? You put your tefillin on. You know what tefillin are? This is what tefillin means. You know, you're supposed to daven? Here's what davening is. Every last possible rule God gave you. All the frustrations that we always say, what should I be doing now? Barely anything is left to your imagination. Even details as intricate as how you go to the bathroom. Is it what you're supposed to do it? How you take a shower? What are you supposed to wash first? You're supposed to do it in a certain way. Almost every last detail you were given, the directions to the game, there's rarely a thing left to your own desire. Yeah, we're almost all like, I don't do it myself. I'm not supposed to do this, do that. There's so few things in the world we have a question mark about it all. There's a Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked the following kasha. I heard some guys davening earlier on. At the end of our first part of the shir, they were davening some of the Yom Narum davenings. So part of Yom Narum that we have also, we say that Adam Yisodu Me'afar V'Sofo La'afar V'Navsho Tavi Lachmu. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked a question. It doesn't make sense. Not the right order. You're Yisod, you start from the ground, from dust. You end in dust. Your job is, with your nefesh, you bring bread. Now we think it means, while you're alive, you bring bread. So back to our Rambam question we had today in Shir 343, the same problem again, we're out of order. It should say, Yisod me afar, b'navsho tavi lachmo, sofol afar. That's the order it happens in. We're born from afar, we work all our lives for just simple bread, and we die again. Kirik says, no, you got it wrong. The last part is the B'nash Tavi Lachmo. It's not talking about in this world. It's about the next world. You make it next world. You're dust and you're going to die as dust. There's one thing that matters. Is the lechem that you bring with your nefesh. It means the mitzvot. That's all that matters. You are as strong as your mitzvot are. That's what matters. That's all that matters through life. That's what you take with you. We tell a story about in the year. That's all you have when the day's up is the mitzvot that you have. That's it. It doesn't say anything else. It's not going to say on your tombstone. It shouldn't say he played a great intramural basketball final game. Who cares? He was a fantastic lawyer. Rabbi known as a father, not as a lawyer. Doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. What matters is your lechem. Your lechem is your sustenance, not in this world. That would be out of order. It's in the next world. It's your mitzvot that you have. There's not one thing left to your imagination. Everything is clearly told to you. You do this, thumbs up. Do that, thumbs down. There are circumstances that are rare. You don't know what to do. But almost always, if you learned about it, you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Bnei Yisrael was at the switch of their Kamamish stuck. They had no idea what to do. They couldn't figure out that Anan was stopped. Their Mamish were paralyzed. And therefore they did the most natural thing is they reached out and they screamed. So once again, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to them, why are you screaming to me? So a few people want to share with you what the question really was. Unkelus makes the following shot. Unkelus says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you screaming to me? Uncle says, I'll read to you inside. Uncle says the following shot. Amar Shalom Moshe, Kablis Tzlusach. I've already accepted their tefillah. I've already taken Bnei Yisrael's field. I accepted already. Why are you still talking to me? Get going. Time to go. From over here, the Shemi Shmuel points out, sounds like Hashem accepted Bnei Yisrael's field, not Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, why is that? Why does Israel feel strong, Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was such a ma'amin. He trusted Hashem so much, he wasn't worried at all. He wasn't desperate. He's saying, Hashem, you know, what should I do right now? But Israel's ma'amin screaming, crying, God, Baruch, I'm so scared. Moshe wasn't scared. Hashem was going to save me. Of course, there was no question in my mind. But Israel was panicking. Their panic that they had was so full of kavana. Because Baruch reached him out and said, I heard the tefillah. I'm saving them. The fact is, you and I always think we'll go to a great rabbi, we'll ask him to daven for us. He'll daven for me. You have it all wrong. The best person that can daven for you is you. Because you're the most desperate. As much as I feel your pain, I don't feel as much as you feel your pain, probably. When you daven for yourself, you have so much more koach. We can see a proof of this. I think it's found in Emes Yaakov as well. Way back when, I think, parts of Lech Lecha. Vayera. That when Avraham Avinu davened, Kadosh Baruch Hu should spare some of the cities. Hashem did not listen to him in the end. Only if you find 10 tzaddikim, otherwise I'm not going to. But then Lot davened for the same davening. Hashem listened to Lot. Lot davened and was listened to, and Avraham wasn't listened to. What's pshat? Because Lot was mamish desperate. This is my life. I'm about to die. Like, help me, you got to save me. Avraham Avinu was the biggest tzaddik. He's davening for the Rishonim of the world. He's davening for them. Save them. Lot davened, save me. I'm going to die otherwise. And his davening had a koach in it that was desperate and powerful. The Shemi Shmuel says, Yaakov Avinu says, "Bicharvi uvikashti." I did a cherev and a kesher. We live with a cherev and a kesher at the end of Vayechi. And there, the uncle says over here, it means "betzlusi uba'usi." It's referring to davening. And the Meshech Chacham explains, and the Shemi Shmuel says as well, that when you daven, if you daven like a cherev, what it means is that you daven whatever you touch. It's ripped up right away. I mean, if you have kavana, you're able to be to daven. When you daven with tzibor, whatever it touches is successful. It's able to destroy. But with a bow and an arrow, with a kesh, it's very different. As far as I pull back, and as good as my aim is, that's where I'm going to hit the target. And how strong I hit the target. When your mom is desperate, it means you're pulling back your bow, and back your bow, and you're aiming really right. And then you let go, and then it's right in the bullseye. It's based on your davening. I've seen people in this yeshiva daven in a matter of a minute, Shmon Esrei. See, people in the yeshiva during Chazaras HaShas, but just, I want to tell you something, a little secret no one knows. Well, people know it, but maybe you don't know yet. Chazaras HaShas is much more powerful than your own davening. Much more powerful than your private davening, much more powerful. You should mamash have, whenever they say that Chazaras HaShas, you should have an Amen. Should you, Kavani, close your eyes? Mechai Mason? Amen. Chon Hadas, I'm frustrated, I don't understand Gemara, I wish I knew Gemara better. Amen. You have a sword davening. The tzibur has a davening that's full of koach. What do I do during davening sometimes? I learn something else. I talk to my friend. Even if I don't talk, I play around with him. I'm pacing the room. Shmona Esrei by itself is great. It's very personal. You get it. It's fantastic. But you're missing, you're holding in your hands a weapon that if you just thought about it and you attach yourself to the tzibur, it's so much more koach than you have. You are a bow and arrow. It requires precision. It requires you to be full of kavan every time. Pull back. The tzibur is the sword. The touch, it's mamash. It can penetrate at the touch. It doesn't require a tremendous power to do it. And it's, wherever it is, it's able to get anything in its way. We waste so much of our time in the Shas doing so many things besides thinking about davening. You have in your hands a mechanism of tefillah. Because we're also here, you don't need to daven anymore. I already heard the davening. Just go. You're ready to go. Besides that, there's another reason why the davening Hashem rejected it, possibly. It says in the Parsha, this is when it says the first Vayitzaka we had, we first davened to Hashem, Rashi over there says that we took Ma'asav Oseinu B'yadeinu. Allah's Lashon Rashi over here is in Perek, Yudal Pasuk Yud. It says Vayitzaku Tafsu Umnos Avosam. They grabbed the trait of their forefathers. They tapped into their forefathers. But Hashem rejects it. You would think tapping into the forefathers is great. You should be doing it. Going, but you have Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, building off them, no? Says of Shah in the Gurariyeh, Hashem rejected it for that reason. You have enough problems. You don't need to tap into your forefathers. You have your own problems in your life. Why don't you dive into me for them? You have a belief problem. Why don't you dive into Hashem for them? There's a friend of mine who was 30 years old, 32 maybe, before he got married. He sat with me. He was 27 years old. He's crying at me, 27 years old. I was already married, Baruch Hashem. And Baruch Hashem, I had time, kids. said to me, like, he's so frustrated that he's not married yet. So I said to him, I said, do you ever daven to get married? And he looked at me like, what? No. Well, no, I date a lot. I try to date, but daven, like, you have so, you don't need to tap into your forefathers davening to have a powerful davening. Don't do it out of rote. Don't say the word because it is written in front of you. Almost every single brach in that davening pertains to you. And whatever you're frustrated right now, whatever you can vent to anyone you want to, is a davening, is a bracha that mimics your problem. I'm frustrated, I don't get Gemara. Cholin hadas. I'm frustrated, I've failed so many times, I'm so far from God. I wish I could see, I wish it was a refuah shleima for this person. I could use a parnasa for my family. I've got a lot of other personal things. Shema Kolenu. There are so many pieces. Don't tap in just because there's a bracha there. And you repeat the bracha like you're saying out of rote. How could you not close your eyes for a minute in davening and think about yourself? You're so selfless. Congratulations, but you're wasting it. If you would be tugging the seaboard's davening, you want to make sure you finish for the seaboard so you can say, I'm making the bracha come on. Okay, I hear it. I promise it's not what you're doing. It's not because you're kavanah in the seaboard, you want to be so strong in the seaboard. It's not why you're doing it. Shouldn't rush. It's true. The seaboard has a call. You're with the seaboard now, even though it's true that you're not saying with him right now, but you're davening with the seaboard. With the seaboard, you're still davening it. Now, when you finish, you should say an amen. You shouldn't be distracted. Right now, because Baruch Hu wants you to daven what's on your mind, assuming you can do it with precision. If I can aim my bow well and I mean it, then I should daven with kavanah. If I aim my bow like this, like, you know, spacing out, looking everywhere, except for my tzitter, spacing out, then it's like going for the bow. No reason to shoot a bow when you're just shaking around. You might as well just shoot the bow quickly and then daven with the seaboard, you're right. But ideally, you should aim at the bow also, ideally. I want to just get the last point and we'll stop. And that is the Medrash. I want to try to give the shot as Medrash over here with Eov, shot in Medrash with Yosef HaTzadik. The Medrash again states that the sea would not split. We wanted to daven, the sea would not split. Hashem says to us, sorry, davening's not going to work right now for you. It's not going to work. You know why? Because davening, when you daven, you tap into your greatness. You tap into your Kedusha. Frankly, right now, the Yam is a very good point. You're not Kedush. You are an Ovid of Azor like everyone else is. You're on the 400th level of Tumah. Nothing to tap into. There is only one thing you can do for me right now. There's only one thing you can do for me. Is you can show me Mysterious Nefesh. If you show Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm most of my Nefesh to you. Game over, I give up. Give up. I'm just walking in. I trust you. I don't know what else to do right now. I'm desperate. If you're most of your nefesh like that, that mitzvah, a mysterious nefesh, that mitzvah is something that can turn the scales, that can tip the scales, turn the tides. That's the only thing I can do for you right now, is that you have to walk in. Baruch Haim HaKadosh explains, Hashem was saying to my Yisrael, you can't daven, you don't deserve it. I can't hear you right now, because you know why? You took a mouth that was so Kadosh and you chanted things about Azar. You've ruined your mechanism. Your voice that should be so powerful right now, you ruined it, you blew it, you destroyed it. You have no voice left. But the one thing you still have while you're alive is Mesiras Nefesh. Show me you mean it. Commit to me. You know what that means, commitment? It means when you don't want to do it, when you're nervous, when you're frightened, when you might die right now, you commit to me. This is Moshe Feinstein, the Josh Moshe, which I learned with Jeremy Siegel last night. The following shot. He says, what are you screaming for? Hashem says, the minute to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's something to be afraid of. You think I did all these mitzvahs just to have you die in the Yamsuf? Trust me. If I brought you out, there's a reason why you're here right now. Trust me. Just go, you'll see. I didn't take you here so you're going to die now. Same thing with us. Hashem says to you every day, trust me. I made you alive again today. Trust me. I expect something from you. If I expected nothing from you, you wouldn't be here today. Hashem gives you back your life every single morning. You know why? Because he's saying to me, to you, I trust you to do something with it today. Don't say, what, are you even here? What do you think brought you back today? I did. You know why? Because I trust you're going to use it well today. Don't let me down again. Don't blow it again. I wouldn't have brought you back if you were hopeless. You can do it, but you have to show me the system. Show me the system. It means that it's hard. You do it anyways. I was learning with my kids the other day, a sefer on Muksa, and this sefer on Muksa has interspersed in the sefer some stories about the Kedusha Shabbos. And I'll tell you the following story I read. Story goes, there was a boy, I think his name was Itzla Eisenbach, and his family was not well to do. And he was a real playful kid, like 8 years old. He knew the Shtiyu Shalayim back and forth. And he used to walk through the Muslim quarter when he wanted to. He was a very brave kid. When Shabbos is walking through the Muslim quarter and he spots on the ground a jewel, a gem, some sort of a coin that would help his family out tremendously. His family was very poor. This would give him 2 weeks of mamish freedom of any burdens in their mind. They would have 2 weeks of sustenance with no problems at all. And his family mamish needed it. But it's Shabbos. What's he going to do? So he decided, can't pick it up. He put his foot on the coin. He said, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to stand on top of this coin. I'm not going to move it. It's us from Muksa. We'll wait here till Shabbos is over. There were 4 hours left till Shabbos is over. So it was, imagine a statue of a Jewish boy, eight-year-old boy, in the middle of the Arab quarter. And the Arab, he goes over to him and says to him, after an hour of watching this kid, like a statue, what are you doing here? It's like he did a place like this. So Innisler Vitzla told him the truth. I found a real precious thing in my foot, and I can't pick up Shabbos, so I'm going to stay here until Shabbos is over. I was like, oh, really? Whoosh, push Ritzel on the ground. Ritzel falls over. The kid grabs the coin, runs away. Ritzel knows, I can't sit here right now and run after him. In the middle of the Arab quarter, he's got more people on his side than I have on my side. And he's all depressed. He had 2 weeks of sustenance in his hands, and he just walked away from it. Depressed. He goes to his shul, where the Chernobyl Rebbe used to daven. That's where his father also davened for Mincha and Shal Shos and Shabbos. He went to the shul, and he used to always, when he was there, would always arrange the tables and chairs before Shal Shos for the Rebbe. And this time he sat in a corner, and he was so sad, and he didn't arrange a table and chairs. The Rebbe sees him, goes over and says, what's going on? Tell him the whole story, what happened. He says, I want you to come to my house after the Shabbos is over. Okay? Shabbos ends. Sadly, Rav Itzla goes over there knowing that he had so much he could have given to his family, and he lost it. And the Rebbe calls him over to his desk. He opens his desk up. He says, see that coin? That's a coin that I passed upon today. He says, I know this. I want to give it to you right now. So excited, the boy reached into the drawer. What second? There's one deal done. I want your Schar Mitzvah. For keeping Shabbos with you today, I want it, and I'll give you the coin in exchange for that. Boy's himself, of course, sure, no problem. And he's about to give over. He's like, one second. Rabbi, you're telling me that my action today was worth that coin? He said, no. It's much better than that coin, but I'll trade you this coin for Yitzchak Mitzvah. We got a deal? Forget it, really. I'm going to keep my Mitzvah. I got Yitzchak Mitzvah. I'm not going to give it to you. A boy of 8 years old has no idea a Maisa of Kedusha Shabbos, of Mamas Mesiris Nefesh, that's precious. Quote the Mass of our commercial, that's priceless. You can't get anything better than that. That's what we're here for. Benasha Tavi Lachma, that's what we're here for. Mitzvahs. Even if we messed up with our mouths, still we try to daven. The Chazar Shas said, Bill, if we're not able to have kavanah properly, we build it up. And that's what Baruch Hu was saying to the Malach. Take Eov, take him. You know what? I want you to put Eov through the ringer. Anything you want to do, Eov, do anything you want to. Watch how he buckles under pressure. See, Yosef Atzadik's Aaron over here, you know what happened to him? He was mamish in a situation that a 17-year-old boy, in the prime of his testosterone and desire, with a woman seducing him, he can't even fathom it. Not only did he pass up on the opportunity to be with her, he ran away without his clothes on. The evidence was in her hands. He was a dead man at this point in time. There's no reason he'd ever be let out of jail for having attempted to rape, as she claimed, the master's wife. And he knows she would say that, because right now there's a big embarrassment. She'd have to turn the tides on him, otherwise she'd be embarrassed. You know what he did? He sucked it up and said, okay, serious nefesh, what am I going to do? You know why? Because there are rules to the game I live in. It's called life of being a Jew. There are rules. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. I do it. Yosef wasn't like, you know what? I don't know. Should I sleep with her? If I don't, I may get in trouble. There are rules and regulations. We know almost every last detail. Do this. Don't do that. There's so little left to your imagination. Don't sit here and vent, I don't do myself. You know almost always what to do with yourself. Kadosh Baruch was telling the Malach, I'm telling you right now, Eov, they're already what is there also, but they are. But look at their great person, Eov. You torture him. You watch what he does. He buckles under pressure. You look at Yosef Atzadik right now, next to me in this Aron. Look at this guy. He didn't buckle. He wasn't seduced. And he mamish risked his life, mysterious nefesh. And you watch, just give me a minute, you'll see my people do the same thing. Runs in Nachshavani Menadav. risking his life for them. How can they, what can the Yam say right now? They're not the same. The Mitzvah Jews are not the same. They're not. Because we were born with the Kedusha that nobody else has. Because Baruch Hu rebirths you every single day because he knows that you have it. At what point in time are you going to stop asking Hashem, I don't know, do it myself. I don't know, wake up for a minute in the morning. There's a simple set of system of rules. You daven because it's successful. You say a main with Kavanah, Sheikh Sibor, Shalit Hashat, because it has Kedusha and Koach to it. There's no question to be asked. You wake up in the morning because it's time to wake up in the morning. You know who decided it? The yeshiva that you're in. But you know who else decided it? God told you, I want you to wake up today. If I didn't want to wake up today, you wouldn't be waking up today anymore. You'd stop waking up. I have to remind you of events this past week where Nebuchadnezzar people stop waking up sometimes. I'm not sure what we think we're waiting for right now in our lives. For we realize, I'm lucky to be alive today. You know, nah, snooze until 11 o'clock. I'd rather not be alive for the next 4 hours. What point in time is life precious enough to realize I'm not going to waste anymore? That I was given a gold mine, that every mitzvah I do is a jewel and a gem. It's getting late. It's getting late in our lives. We're making a decision now that will affect us forever. She's also like a lesson. Because Baruch was telling Bnei Yisrael, I'm the Malach. The people, my people are different. Trust me, they dig deep. They'll do mysterious numbers for anything. They'll stick to me eventually. We shouldn't have to wait for a moment like that to prove ourselves to God's Baruch.